Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In Gage's second interview with the police, he changed many details from what he had originally said, even admitting to his lies at one point.
I told him that the kid tried to rob me.
Okay.
Now, did the kid try to rob me? No, but I was so scared. I was drinking. I didn't know what was about to go on. I was ready to go home. I just had to say it. I couldn't get a DUI. Did he ask me if I had anything to drink? I said, no, sir. Like him. Okay, wrong, but I did it. Scared. So I liked him, I told him no, I wasn't. My alcohol beverage was sitting in my cup holder. And a red solo cup.
You're listening to Speaking of Crime with your hosts, Gia and John. We know the audio from Jonathan's interview was difficult to hear last week because of the poor audio quality, so we're sharing the transcript on our Facebook page for anyone who wants to read it in its entirety. In Jonathan's interview, there were so many subtle signs and things he said that make us think he was at the scene of the crime. At one point, while describing Praveen and the fight, Jonathan tells the officer, quote, "You'll figure that out when you see him," end quote. Just stop and think about that for a minute. If you had not seen something for yourself, and then you were describing it to another person, would you ever reference it in that manner? Essentially saying, oh, you'll see for yourself. It just doesn't seem right, unless he was there and had firsthand knowledge of it, of course. Monica also pointed out that it's possible that Jonathan could have been with Gage and had been left behind when the state trooper showed up. He could have used his phone to call someone to pick him up from the side of the road, or he could have walked over to the Taco Bell or McDonald's, which were in the shopping plaza nearby. He could have made his way back to the house party without Gage once the trooper left the scene. We just don't know, but it's clear that things are not adding up. Praveen was found pretty far into the woods. If Praveen could have walked that far on his own, he could have also walked out of the woods, or walked up to the trooper while he was there. He could have used the street lights at Buffalo Wild Wings or the other businesses nearby as a guide to get out of the wooded area, but he didn't. That says something. Did Gage and Jonathan carry Praveen to that location? Could Jonathan have moved him there after Gage left? Or did Gage go back to the scene of the crime the next day and move Praveen? Don't forget that Praveen's wallet was found just tucked into the front of his boxers, another sign that he didn't walk to the location where he was found. Lovely also sent us a letter that Carbondale police sent to them suggesting they pay out the reward. Here's an excerpt from that letter. Mr. and Mrs. Varghese, firstly, on behalf of all my colleagues, I wish to express my deepest condolences to you, your family, and everyone else whose hearts continue to mend after Praveen's death. As police officers, we encounter tragedy on a regular basis, but it never gets easy to guide families through this most impossible of situations. I want to offer myself as a contact at the police department, who you can reach out to at any time, be it in 2 days from now or 25 years down the road. Just as you will never get over the loss of your son, I will carry the weight and the memory of this investigation likely for as long as I live. Secondly, we need to address the issue of the witness who initially provided us the name and location of the person whom Praveen was last with. The witness's information led us to eventually interview the person whose own information allowed us to find Praveen's body. The witness, Jonathan S. Stanley, has called my department on a near daily basis asking how he can get in touch with your family. As we discussed during our meeting with you in our conference room on February 19, 2014, we believe Mr. Stanley's motivation was money in regards to the reward for information your family advertised. He believes he is entitled to some, if not all, of the money your family offered because of the valid information he provided. We have consistently told Mr. Stanley to avoid contacting your family directly during this sensitive time. However, I fear that as time goes on, his impatience will grow. Mr. Stanley is a candidate to receive some funds through our Crime Stoppers program, but he is more interested in what your family offered because the amount was much higher than what was provided through Crime Stoppers. It is absolutely your decision on how much, or if any, money is provided to Mr. Stanley. I can confirm that Mr. Stanley's information set in motion the events that led to Praveen's discovery, and we unlikely would have found Praveen when we did without that information. I am not aware of any legal requirement that forces you to provide advertised reward money. However, you may wish to consult an attorney for further guidance. The letter goes on to include Jonathan's contact information and the officer's information as well. Thankfully, Lovely and Matthew never paid out that reward money to Jonathan. Gage was asked to come into the Carbondale police station for a second time on February 19th. The police spoke with Gage's dad before asking him to come back in. Unfortunately, we don't know what was said between his dad and the officers.
Okay, the following is a statement taken from Gage the Sims. This statement is being taken pursuant to Carbondale Police Case Number C2014-0213-057 in the presence of myself, Carbondale Police Detective Brooke Hamill, or in interview room number 231 at Carbondale Police Department. Today's date is February 19th, 2014, and the current time is approximately 16:30 hours. Would you state your name, please?
Gage.
And spell it for me.
G-A-E-G-E-B-E-T-H-U-N-E.
And Gage, what's your date of birth?
7/26/94.
Gage, are you aware the statement is being taped?
Yes, ma'am.
That being done with your permission?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you aware that you're here and you are not under arrest for anything?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And we explained to you that you're free to leave, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Free to leave at any time. You're here to give us another statement. Would it be a true statement to say that we talked to you on February 17th, myself and Detective Weisenberger, regarding this missing person case? The reason we called you in, we actually talked to Dad, you know that, to see if we could get a further statement from you because we feel that you weren't completely honest with us. I do know that you're here, and I trust that you're here to now give a truthful statement, a completely truthful statement, and we appreciate that very much, okay? So if you would, just go ahead, tell us what happened. And do not leave anything out. Obviously, you know that we know pretty much everything. So that's all we're looking for from you, okay?
So about 8 or 9, me, cousin John, the family, my friend Bill Janey, my friend Preston Phillips, decided to go over to Carbondale. Just a drink, just that fun. A party. I looked you down for what the buffet was, and I was okay with that. I was an only driver. We was hanging around, didn't see, you know, too many people come in and out. I don't really know how many people was there. I wasn't really too concerned on that. I went up to the house owner, I believe, Sean Isabel.
Okay.
And I asked him if there's going to be any coke there, that I had $25. I didn't have $25 on me. I just wanted to know if there's going to be coke there.
Okay.
Because the previous one that we talked about, I said I wasn't feeling good the night before and I wasn't really in the party mood. So I signed it up, you know, my trying to do a little bit. I was too broke. I only had $10 in my name, like I said in the last one. I put my last $10 in gas at the gas station to go home. Received my money. He said, yes, he'll be here. So I'm hanging out there for a little while, drinking a little bit, hanging out, talking with a couple buddies. I'm ready to leave. Come on, midnight. I'm ready to go there. I wake my cousin up. He wasn't ready.
And your cousin is?
Jonathan Salmon.
Okay.
So, trying to wake him up. He wasn't ready to leave. Asked the guys downstairs. They wasn't ready to leave. So I said, okay, I'm leaving. I went outside, got my truck, tried to leave. There's a car on my way. I tried to go around the car, but there's a fence post there. I hit the fence post on my truck. So I went back inside, and at the time I still haven't seen that kid.
Okay.
So at the time I walked back in and I say, hey, Sean, somebody's got a car, you know, blocking me in. They have to move it. I said, what is it? And I told him what kind of car it was. Person came out, moved it, and then I came back out there when the guy came in, and I got my truck and was ready to go. And that's when
the kid that we were investigating.
I'd like to say his name.
Okay, his name is Praveen.
Praveen. Okay. Person Praveen had walked up to me.
Okay.
And he said, can you give me a ride? And I said, where are you going? He said, just right down the road. No big deal, it's cold outside. Nice guy, so I said, yes, go ahead, you know, get in. Got him along, said make a ride at the first stop sign. And we make a ride, he gets on the phone, he's talking, not really telling me where to go, so I'm driving the route that I know. So I go that route, I'm driving around, I said, and I asked him to get out of the vehicle. He wasn't very cooperative with me, so he didn't want to say nothing back. I don't know if he was looking for a place to go, and was trying to figure out, hey, I'm going to burn this kid's time, and then I'm going to have him take me where I want to go. I don't know if that was a part of it, you know, his plan or what, but eventually I drove out long enough, didn't have enough gas, 30 minutes, you know, maximum, minimum 15 minutes to drive around. Circle still like more than what it was, maybe less than what it was. So I just round over about 30 minutes of driving around. Finally, we get kind of close by the, you know, you can see Buffalo Wild Wings and stuff, and he says, make a right. So I go back onto the back roads by the mall and stuff. I can run that additional area. There's some road that we turned off. I don't know my way around Carbondale well enough.
Okay, behind the mall or in front of the mall?
Behind. Like, you can run around that behind area.
Okay.
And we got the stop sign. We make a right to go to Buffalo Wild Wings.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, you know, he's on the phone, I asked him to get out. Didn't even want me. So I pulled up, I said, we got this stop line. I said, I'm going to go ahead and head to town. You can hop out here. Didn't acknowledge me. So I drove off on my own will. If you need to go with me, you need to go with me. And then finally, as we're driving along, which I noticed it was about the time of that bridge. Now on the way here, I'd seen about where it was that I pulled over.
Okay.
And I noticed that he'd start smacking me and say, hey, we're... You know, that got me getting a little bit aggressive. Where are you going? You know, turn around, where are you going?
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, I told you to get out. You didn't want to get out. I'm not turning around for you. I don't have the gas. He got really aggressive. Told me I had a knife. Never seen a knife. Never, you know, nothing like that. But he did say, as a scare tactic, whatever it is, he did say that he had a knife.
Okay.
And he jammed me in my face, right here in line.
Okay.
And I pulled the truck over. At that time, I had to get the kid out of my car. Walked around to his side, opened up his door, he jumped out, swung on me, aggressively. I defended myself, I missed his punch, and I hit him. One good time, not enough. And that's when he kind of fell onto me, dead weight, and grabbed me. We rolled down the hill a little ways and exchanged punches. After that, the cops showed up. Maybe, like I said, I'm not very good with my time. I had a little bit to drink, but we was not fighting long whatsoever. It was a scuffle, not a fight. Can you consider it a fight? Oh, I'm just getting emotional.
It's okay. It's all right. It's okay. It's okay.
So.
Take your time.
Cop rolls up, and I go to the cop, and he goes up to the woods. And it's the last suit. All right. I went back the next day. I didn't know the kid was missing. or to a couple of my friends that I got into a fight. I wanted to tell them like I wasn't scared. Like I was Mr. Tough Guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want my friends to think I'm weak. So I told my cousin about this fight, Jonathan.
Jonathan, okay.
So I told him about this fight. I didn't talk to the person, nor did I talk to Dylan about this fight. And I told Jonathan about us driving around, and the kid mentioned something about cocaine to me. I never once handed him no money. I only had $10 to my name, and it was in my back pocket. So I've been asked about the ones on the floor. I don't know whose ones. They were on the floor. I didn't even see him there. Didn't even acknowledge him. I had $10 on me, and that's it.
Did you notice Gage just said, "I went back the next day. I didn't know the kid was missing"? Where did he go back to? What is he referring to? Did he go back to Carbondale? Did he go back to the scene of the crime? The officer didn't question him about that statement or ask him to clarify.
So what did you tell the
trooper? I told the trooper that, from my understanding, as scared as I was, I told him that the kid tried to rob me.
Okay.
Now, did the kid try to rob me? No, but I was so scared. I was drinking. I didn't know what was about to go on. I was ready to go home. I just had to say, I couldn't get a DUI. I had to say, I didn't tell him that we got in a scuffle. Nothing like that. I said, the guy tried to rob me and flooded through the woods. And he said, this happens a lot. It's been happening a lot around here.
The trooper said that to you?
Yes. He said, this has been happening a lot around here. So, sent my license. He sat back in the vehicle in his police car after he looked on the road, from, you know, and shone his light in the wood for a minute. He brought me back my license and he asked me if I had anything to drink. I said, no, sir. Like him. Okay, wrong, but I did it. Scared. So I liked him and I told him no, I wasn't. My alcohol was average, was sitting in my cup holder. In a red Solo cup. He did not ask me for registration, insurance, nothing like that. That's for my ID. I went back and told Jonathan the story. Wanted to sound tough. I told him about us driving around with him about cocaine, but I told him when we stopped, the kid was scared of me because he hit me, and I told him that, you know, I told this kid, you know, which I never said it to this kid, but this is what I told my friend to try to act up.
Okay.
I told him, you know, the kid got, he was kind of scared of me. They don't know, I don't even know who he was, but he's kind of scared of me. He jumped out real quick, he took off running, and I chased him, I hit him. He turned around, I just hit him and just knocked him out. So I told him.
Okay.
No, that clearly didn't happen. I mean, I told you I did everything I could about the boy. I wanted to help, and we rolled around, and I couldn't even hit him that hard. Mm-hmm. As hard as I thought I did, I had something to drink. I'm sure I wasn't that great myself, on my toes.
What seems more likely is that the version of the story Gage is saying he told his friends the next day is closer to the truth, and he is now telling the police that he only told his friends that story to look tough. Praveen was more than likely scared of Gage. He probably jumped out of the truck when he had an opportunity, and Gage chased him into the wooded area, punched him, and knocked him out, just like he told his friends. The very next day, after his encounter with Praveen, before the police were involved, and before Gage was scared of getting in any legal trouble, he wouldn't have had any reason to lie. That story he told his friends is probably the closest to the truth about what happened that night that he's ever spoken.
I've told you pretty much everything that has happened about the cocaine at the party. I didn't think nobody ever snorted cocaine in front of me.
Okay.
But...
what about you?
No, ma'am. Never snorted cocaine there.
No.
No, ma'am. Didn't take any pills. I drank.
Okay.
I did drink.
Right. At the party.
Yes, ma'am. I did ask about coke if it was going to be there. But I never did the coke.
How do you know Sean is, though?
I've heard his name for a very long time.
Okay. Is he from West Frankfort?
To be honest, I don't know exactly where he's from.
So how do you guys know about the party, then?
My cousin Jonathan.
Okay.
My cousin Jonathan informed me about the party, which I think Dylan informed Jonathan about the party.
Alright.
That's how I found out about it.
Okay. And they came to you because you had the car?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Ask me if I was ready, you know, if I was willing to tell us.
Okay.
Which I should never earn. I'm going to say not, but I don't even come see him.
Right. And you ask for cocaine because you know you can get it from Sean.
Well, rather than know I could get it from him, but I knew if it was going to be him, maybe I could have a chance of handing a $10 bill to somebody.
Okay.
Because I had more gas, I would have probably put in gas to make it home.
Right.
Home had 25. I only had $10. I wanted to, if I told my mom had $10, she would look like I'm stupid. Cocaine's like $80 a gram, like 100 or something like that.
Okay.
It looked like I'm crazy. So it was already broke out and down. Yes, ma'am, I would have snorted a line of cocaine. Do I snort cocaine? Am I a drug addict? No, ma'am. Was I tired? And was I in the party? No, ma'am. You know, yes, I was tired and I was in the party. Did I want to bring up and be as happy as everybody else and maybe have as good a time with their butts? Yes, ma'am.
So then it's my understanding that you've done coke before and you know how it makes you feel.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and that's ultimately why you asked if it was going to be there.
Gage's story about wanting cocaine that night and going back and forth and saying he didn't actually want it doesn't make sense. Let's talk about this money situation for a minute. Gage has admitted that he wanted cocaine at the beginning of the night but only had $10 on him, and that he thought he may be able to get someone to sell him some if he'd had at least $25. So that is clearly where the $25 amount originated from. He insists over and over in the second interview that he only had $10 on him, and it was in his back pocket. Yet Jonathan said that Gage had $25 in his cup holder, which he claims Praveen took, and that was the reason Gage chased him into the wooded area. So now we know that wasn't true. But Gage continues to say that he only had $10 and was worried about not having enough gas to get home. Yet there were dollar bills laying on the floor of his car. Then he states that he was completely unaware of this money laying in his car. None of it adds up. Anyone who has ever been down to their last $10 knows that you couldn't and wouldn't be unaware of money laying in your car right in front of you. Clearly, he knows where that money came from and doesn't want to say it.
I know you have a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Where was your cell phone?
Because,
okay, it was dead prior to going to the party?
I think it died when I was at the party.
Okay, do you have your phone with you now?
No, ma'am.
All right. Would you allow us to look through your phone? I mean, is that, you know, we're looking for information that will tell us this is exactly where you were and you're not.
There's no, my phone,
deceiving us.
There's no information on my phone. I'm glad you guys look, but there's no information on my phone saying that Sean is those. I do not say that name around anybody.
Why?
I mean, you guys are the cops. I might as well tell you, you know? So, as far as I'm concerned, he's a big drug dealer.
He is.
As far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
What I've said, I've heard a lot about him.
Okay. And who gives you this information?
Yeah, you could ask just about any kid my age from us, Frankfurt, probably. And they'd probably say yes, I've heard Sean's stuff. Yes, through drugs. Marijuana is where, you know, I've had my cousins, my big cousins, which I think he's been under investigation maybe. He's been arrested for heroin or something. He used to, that's how I met him, was through Wesley Miller. And I've been out to Sean, he used to live at a lake house in Benton. I've been out there a couple times at the party, so. I knew Sean well enough where I could go to that party, but I wasn't comfortable because I didn't know everybody else. So I was ready to leave that party. So.
But you only knew him?
Him, Sarah, Preston, John, and Dylan.
Okay. Did you see Sarah that night?
Yes. Okay.
Did you see the kid that, Praveen, did you see him at the party, inside the party that night?
No, ma'am.
Have you ever seen him before?
No, ma'am.
All right. And you're telling me that after you tried to get out of the driveway and you had to go ask someone, you had to ask Sean to have the person move their vehicle so you could get out because you ended up hitting a fence post or something like that, right? You ended up getting on the road, backing up, going out on the road, and that's when he knocked on your door?
No, he, I got in my vehicle and he came up as I was getting in my vehicle, walking down the sidewalk. He got, came up and he said, hey, can you give me a ride? I said, where are you going? Down the road. No problem, down the road ain't too far, you know, I think down the road might be a couple bucks.
Does he ask you at any point in time for money? Does he ask you for cocaine? Can you give me any cocaine?
No, ma'am.
He doesn't ask you for anything.
No, ma'am. Ask me for the ride.
That's it.
He wasn't very cooperative with me afterwards. He was on the phone the majority of the time.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember what he was talking about?
No, not exactly. He was
essentially told us about cocaine.
Yes.
Was that why? I mean, was that something that you just made up? I'm okay if it's
No, this is time to be honest. He said something about cocaine on that phone.
Okay.
I did hear cocaine on that phone.
Alright.
He offered me cocaine for the ride since he didn't have gas money and I didn't, I was ready to go home. I didn't, I know cocaine what it does to you. It wakes you up.
Okay.
I didn't need to be woke up at the time. I was long enough to make it home on time and go straight to sleep. Midnight. You know, earlier at that time, and when I first got that party, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, yeah, I wanted to do, you know, a lot if I could, bring me up with everybody else, but not midnight. That's when I'm ready to go to sleep.
So he offers you how much cocaine?
He didn't offer me a single amount of cocaine. He just said he could get some cocaine.
Okay.
And I said, I don't need it. This is my exact words to the boy. I said, I don't need it. Just tell me where you're going. If you're just going right down the road, let's go. Where's your destination? And he's...
So then let's go from there. Let's go your route through Carbondale, okay? So you leave. We know you said you hit the stop sign.
I've been drinking. I'm not going to be able to say, I told you guys this last time. I can't tell you anywhere.
I know that. And I'm okay with that. Whatever you can remember.
I've already told you everything I can remember.
Okay.
You guys have it on voice recording 3 times.
So right at the stop sign.
You said if I seen a Kroger, I said I think I seen a Kroger straight ahead of me. I don't ever remember seeing a Kroger to my side. But I'm more focused on the road. I was not focused on my surroundings.
On, yeah.
I was drinking. I was not focused on my surroundings.
Okay.
I can't tell you everything. I don't know Kroger though.
You do remember being behind the mall-ish area.
Area. Don't remember the precise locations. I couldn't even, like I said, I couldn't even take you to the house, let alone the route I took after I drank.
Okay.
I still can't remember when I was sober how I got to that house,
right.
Let alone drinking.
So we remember El Greco?
I believe so.
Mm-hmm. And then what do you remember from there?
We took so many left and rights, I don't know.
Okay.
I want to say a left.
Okay.
And I want to say if I were to take a left, maybe it would bring me somewhere around here, is what I'm willing to say. And that's when I started, I know I made it at El Greco's.
So you knew where that was?
Oh yeah, I was driving my familiar areas. I ate there, so I went and drove down, and I believe it's a left, 2 miles. Honestly, if I could get in the car and I could drive straight down there, I could make my route. I don't know well enough.
I'm just trying to be.
Listen to this exchange, which took place at the end of Gage's first interview with police. The officer is clearly indicating that Praveen's phone had no activity during the time they were driving around. Yet, in Gage's second interview, he continues to lie and say that Praveen was on his phone talking about cocaine.
Would there be any reason that his phone records show that he didn't make any calls during that time you were with him?
I mean, hell, he could have been on the phone acting like he's on the phone. I don't know. If it was no... He never once, like I said, he never once had it on speakerphone. Never once I heard him say something about cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if his phone was dead. I don't know if he was really on the phone. Like I said, I didn't even see his phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I couldn't even describe if it was a touch screen or a flip phone.
Okay.
I wasn't that worried. I was just worried about where the boy was going so I could get home.
Excuse me.
Because he didn't make any calls. He didn't receive any calls.
Okay.
At that time, so.
Well, he was trying to, and he was talking to himself.
Okay.
But he was talking, yes. Okay. Then he sure wasn't talking to me. Was he ignoring me so I wouldn't take him home at the time? And using that as a I don't know.
Okay.
In the second interview, Gage admits to drinking so much that he couldn't focus on his surroundings. He couldn't remember the route he took. He didn't know the address of the house he was partying at, and was even still drinking while driving.
I don't even know how to drive to that house right now. Okay. If I was on that road, I would not know how to make it to college.
Who knew how to get to that house?
As far as I'm concerned, whoever was with me.
Okay.
If I can't make it alone, it's one of them three. I don't know.
So they directed you to get there?
I wasn't doing it on my own, so yeah.
Okay. I mean, they knew how to tell you how to get to that house. So you don't know the address for that house then?
No, yes, I think.
What is it?
606.
Okay.
West College Street.
All right.
That's, seeing the news, I've seen it, you know, I know the address now.
That's not it.
That's not it?
No. You guys are in a different part.
Yes, I don't know.
No, yeah, I'm just letting you know.
Okay.
You're in a different party, okay?
Okay.
Gage even lied about where he went on the night of February 12th after leaving Praveen in the woods. He told the police he went to his mom's house in West Frankfort. But a 16-year-old girl named Desiree came forward and testified that Gage actually came to pick her up after midnight that night, and he took her to his dad's house in El Dorado. And when he contacted her, he asked Desiree if she wanted to do some cocaine. She said he was so intoxicated that he was falling down while going up the stairs and she had to help him up. She also said that she noticed his knuckles were all busted up. They both spent the night at Gage's dad's house that night.
Correct me if I'm wrong, and the your interaction with the Illinois State Trooper, he pulled up. And that's when you tell him Praveen robbed you. Is that correct?
That's when I said yes. And that he had fled into the woods.
And that, right, and that he had fled into the woods.
He swam out the woods.
And what did the trooper do at that time?
Stood at the road, shot his flashlight for me to get in the vehicle. Shot his flashlight, came back up to my passenger window, passed me by my ID. I handed him my ID yesterday. Back to his car. He sat in his car and he came back up there. He gave me my ID. I said, I've been drinking. I said, no. And he told me I was free to go. I drove off and the state trooper sat. I don't even recall seeing his headlights ever pull off. In my rear view mirror, I don't recall him ever pulling off.
And, alright, okay.
I told the state trooper lies because I was so scared. I do not know what this kid is capable of. I never, ever, ever, ever want meant for anything like for this kid to go. I never, ever, ever, ever in a million years expect something like this to happen. I was just trying to be nice and help somebody. I was just trying to help him.
Did you tell him to run in the woods?
Oh. No, honestly, I wish he would have ran straight to the police officer with me. I would have took that as me not me getting a DUI and the battery charge over that kid's life and what that family was built. I was sat in jail for however long I had to, you know, but that's not what that kid's life. I haven't been able to sleep with
that. That was a choice.
Yes.
Okay.
I figured he was going to be okay. I thought he knew his way.
You didn't tell him to run the woods?
No, ma'am.
You didn't kidnap him?
No, ma'am. No, and then what?
She hit him in the head with a rock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is money.
Alright. Take a big deep breath. Okay. Let me see if Detective Weisenberger is out here. Yeah, okay. I'll try to get you out of here. So cool. Any questions for me right now?
Next week, we will talk to Praveen's cousin Ashley again. And you will hear more about the struggles the family went through to try and solve this case. Nothing about it was as it should have been. Rather than having time to grieve and get some kind of closure, Praveen's family was doing the jobs of law enforcement and the state's attorney, being blocked every step of the way. If you're interested in this story and want to know more about the case, you can check out our social media pages. We'll be sharing videos of the police interviews, photos, and documents from the case. We are at Speaking of Crime on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, and at Crime Speaking on Twitter. Please help us share Praveen's story.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.